Thank you, Lord. I want to continue what we were talking about last week. We'll continue on. And we've been talking about the critical issues that we are facing. And the I am defines who I am. You know, as we continue on what we talked about last week, there's one thing I want to say as an introduction, okay? And I want to read from the book of 1 John, verse 18. Sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. We've got to know that we are in a battle. We got to know what we are facing, and we got to know the reality and the urgency of certain things in the Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour." Let me read that again. Let this verse sink in. Little children, it is the last hour. This is the last hour. This is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Number one, there's an Antichrist. Okay? Then number two, even now, there's Antichrist is coming, but even now, that means now. Everybody say now. Now many antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. How do we know? The antichrist is operating right about us. This is how we know that we are living in the last days. What times are we living in this morning? And the spirit of antichrist is operating in this world. You know, and that's why when we read the book of Ephesians, I probably should not turn there because that will take us off course. But it tells us something very clearly, that it is there's a spirit that operates in the sons of disobedience. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a spirit that's operating in people, in sons of disobedience. But what is at work? There's principalities that governs the course of this world. So we realize something. Our battles is not flesh and blood, but it is in the spirit. It's a spiritual battle that we've got to fight. There are spirits that are operating in our world. And like I said this morning in prayer, we don't have to go very far to see it. We don't have to go to the Middle East to see that. We don't have to go somewhere else. Okay, we can see it right on our ground. May not look too serious, but the spirit is at work. So how do we know we're living in the last time? It's the spirits that are coming. And what are they doing? They are trying to take away who we are, what we have, and what we can do by disrobing us from our values, by disrobing us from our identity, by disrobing us from the Word of God, from all the things that God has given to us. That's what the enemy is doing. And the enemy wants to destroy the seed as long as he can get rid of the seed that God is preserving. That's his agenda. But God will preserve a seed. God will preserve those that are after him, those that receive him. Amen? But this is the battle that we're in. This is the challenge that we're being faced. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what was he tempted with? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What was happening to him? He was being directly challenged by Satan. If you are the Son of God, are you saying you're the Son of God? If you are, then do this. Prove it to me. So we can see the reality of how the enemy is trying to challenge our identity, trying to challenge what we can do, trying to get us off God, trying to distract us. And sometimes we get caught into it and we try to prove ourselves, but we don't know that our identity is in God. Jesus didn't prove himself. He didn't say, "I'll show you I'm the Son of God." ta-da. He didn't do that. All right? Because he knows that this is not the, this is not his fight. This is not the way to fight this battle. All right? Like answering to a fool. If a foolish person speaks, you don't answer the foolish person. It just makes you twice as foolish as the foolish person. So in the same manner, you know, Jesus knew exactly who he was. And I pray that while there are so many attacks that's coming our way, even in our nation, Christians, churches, everywhere around about, you know, that we will truly know who we are, what we have, and what we can do. And that declaration is an important declaration. It's a very significant declaration that we've been making. And so last week I talked about the issues that we face. Who defines who I am? We talked about three things. Obviously, we said that it is the I am that defines who I am. That means the great I am, the eternal one, Jesus, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, from everlasting to everlasting, who was and is to come, the eternal God. He defines who I am. Not what's happening around me, not what everybody is saying, but Jesus. I think that's a very clear thing, that this is the message that I want to say. So we talked about three things last week. We talked about race. My race does not define who I am and what I can do in God. My race doesn't give me more special privileges. Doesn't make me more smart, doesn't make me smarter, doesn't make me anything. I don't have to be intimidated. I don't have to feel inferior. Neither, nor do I have to feel superior. Number two, we talked about gender. My gender, or the status quo of what society says about what gender is, does not define who I am in God. I can approach God, whether male or female, just the same way, through His blood, by the broken body of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I have access. I receive the redemptive work of Jesus because of Jesus, not because I'm a male or female. God can use me not because I'm of a certain gender. God shows no partiality. He's no respecter of person. For in Christ, there's now neither Jew nor Greek. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. My identity comes from Jesus, without crushing any boundaries between men and women, knowing that God have created us that way. We have different roles. Yet, it doesn't limit us. Neither should my age, neither should whether I'm a youth or old or whatever it is. Okay, I made that quite clear last week, that God can use us if we are willing. Number three, we talked about culture. Now, I gotta clarify this. There is a good culture. Culture is not all bad. There is good culture, and culture that comes from heaven. That's good. That's good. But the culture of this world, tradition, there's certain traditions are good, but traditions of man, that's bad. You know, you read your Bible every day. You could call that a tradition if you'd like. I probably wouldn't choose to call that tradition. But the fact that we read our Bible every day is something that we keep, something that we treasure. You can call that tradition or whatever. But these are good things to keep. These are good things to have. Does that make sense? But traditions of man and the culture of this world does not define who I am. And we're going to cover that as well. Neither do religious works define who I am. My mannerism, my lifestyle, the way that I was brought up, the culture that I follow, all of this does not define who I am. And last week I talked about how the Jews came to John the Baptist and how the Jews came to Jesus saying, look, we're okay, we've got Abraham as our father. But the whole thing was what? Don't say that you have Abraham as your father. That's not good enough. Are you greater than our father? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Being challenged. So people, when we rely on those things, we become indifferent. We're okay. I don't need to know anymore. I'm good as I am. I don't need to change. I don't need to adjust anything. I'm doing the right thing. I'm already doing the right thing. What are you trying to tell? What are you trying to say to me? So we become indifferent. So everything is okay. Everything passed by. Everything's going to work by itself. Okay? So these are the 3 points that we talked about. And one more time before we go to the next 3 points, I want to read 1 John chapter 4 one more time. And let's see the context from the book. Let's see the parallels. And let's see how this woman was drawing her identity based on all these things. So turn with me to the book of the Gospel of John chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 1 to 26. I think it's good to read scriptures because it's all in the scriptures. And let's read responsively. I'm going to read the first verse, and you can repeat, or you can read the verse following. And verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees baptized had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." The woman said to him, "Sir, you've nothing to draw with, and well, the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks from this water will thirst again. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither in this mountain, on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Amen. Okay, so this is where we're coming from this morning, from John chapter 4. We've dealt with race, we've dealt with gender, we've dealt with culture. And all of these things right now in our land, all these things are being challenged. Not just in our society, but we are being challenged too. Are we drawing from our race? Are we drawing our identity based on our gender? Are we trying to base our identity based on our culture and tradition? All right? Number one for today, but number four as we continue on. Same as last week, yeah. The number four is the media. Does the media define who I am? Does social media define who I am? Let me show it to you from scriptures and then we'll go into it. Look at verse 11. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "What? Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of this water shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Okay, now, look at two things here. We're talking about, number one, everybody say water. Okay, now, we're talking about water, drinking water. This water that's being drunk, the first one, you will thirst again. Correct, right? Then the second one, if you drink the one that comes from Jesus, you won't thirst. Is that clear? Now, the water that she drinks from that well, eventually she will end up dying. Correct. Right? But if you drink of the water that comes from Jesus, you will have everlasting life. You will not die. Can you see the parallel here? Okay? So, water in scriptures, generally speaking, water speaks of the word of God, the washing of the word, the washing of being washed, and it speaks of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, like rain and things like that. So there's a water that comes in us. And you know when Jesus talks about it shall become in you a well of living water, it's the flow of the Holy Spirit that leads us into everlasting life. So when we talk about water, you got to know that you're dealing with Word and Spirit that gives us life. That's how we became born again. That's how we received Jesus, because we received the Word. The Word became flesh. We receive Him and He dwelt among us. And so to those who receive Him and believe Him, He gave them the right or the authority to become children of God. All right? Can you see where I'm leading with this? So there is something we can drink from that gives us everlasting life, or we can drink from something which the whole world is feeding on, which leads to death. Because without Christ, you're going to die. In the same manner, if I can put the contrast with this, in the garden there was two trees. The first tree is the tree of eternal life, the tree of life. If you can eat of all the trees. There's two trees, you know, you got to take note. First one, you can eat of the tree of life. But this second tree, I don't want you to eat from that. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of it, you shall die. Then we know the story how Eve was tempted, and in all her accuracy and with all the deception, she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What happened? She died spiritually, and she died within the day. Day being meaning 1,000 years. Within that, mankind never lived anywhere beyond 1,000 years. As a day until the Lord is at 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. All right? So what am I saying here? Right from Genesis, we see even there are two pathways you can choose. Do we feed from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or which feed from the tree of life? And the world has been feeding on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, some of the things they say in the world is good, but it's a mixture of good and bad. It's both. The internet is great. You can get information just like that. But you've got both good and bad. Some people have great aspirations, have great ambitions, and have great vision, but yet they have mixture without God. So this woman, as long as she kept drinking from the water of the well, from that well, she will die. It leads to death. But there's one water that we drink leads to life. Now, what am I saying here? Does the media determine who I am? What stream are we drinking from? Now, you got to know one more thing before I go into this. Is you got to know in the book of Revelation, okay, we're not going to dig the eschatology aspect of it, but there's a principle there. There's a woman who's going to give birth to a child, male child, right? And as soon as she gave birth, this child is caught up into heaven. Now the dragon, Satan, the serpent of all, was not happy. So he went after this woman. And the Bible tells us that out of his mouth he spewed water coming like a flood that would carry the woman away. But obviously the woman was preserved and taken into the wilderness where she was preserved or protected for 3.5 years. What I'm saying is, from this dragon, out of his mouth spewed water, lies, hypocrisy, deception, I mean, he's the liar. He's the father of lies. He was the deceiver from the very beginning, Satan. So there's a water that is flowing. There's a stream in our world that's flowing, that is full of lies, full of deception, full of half-truth. But there's one well that is the way, the truth, and the life. That well comes by the Holy Spirit through His Word that reveals Christ. So far, are you with me? There are two streams. What streams are we feeding from? True, pure doctrine or contaminated water that is in the world? There's a lot of things being said in the media, but can we believe the media? There are so many things in social media. Some are really good stuff, but some is good, yet it can be a little bit false or not accurate. Have you ever heard news and then you find out it's not? Okay? And these are realities that we're living in. And the reality is that for the most part of us, most of human society, we feed on those news that are given to us every day. All right? So from the newspapers, now you don't even need to go buy the newspaper. You can get all the news you want right on your phone. And almost everyone that I know has phones. So we're being fed daily by the media with information that may be true, that may not be true. And we have, I mean, it's been evidently exposed that the media is so one-sided, that it is so corrupted, that they really push their own agenda. And you can see it in the style of writing too and how they advertise with something. I mean, it's quite clear at times. But you know, even when you look at, as you all know, the election in the U.S., how, you know, I'm not saying that Mr. President Trump was, you know, is a perfect guy. But what am I saying is this guy, God is actually using this man. God's actually set this man to do things in the U.S. that no other president have done. But all the good things that he does, we don't hear that much. But the slightest thing becomes the biggest news on the headlines. Oh, he did this and this happened and he sneezed, and that was so silly. You know, and you see all kinds of things like that happening in the media, and you know how they want to push their own agenda. They want you to believe something that is not true. What are we feeding on? You know, I was at work, when I was still in IT, and it was not too long ago. Could have been anyway. Doesn't matter when it was, but you know, one of my colleagues came up to me and said, "Dude, you got to read this article." I'm like, "Man, this better be good," you know. I said, "All right, yeah, show me." I mean, someone's telling you I've got news. You'll be like, "Share the news. It might be something very useful or very good." So he brings me this article, and in this article I read. This is how, I mean, I really think it's so silly, but I don't even know how it makes it to the news. This is whole story of this woman who's trying to text her daughter to come home, all right, and texted the wrong number. So it ended up on a guy's phone. The guy's been telling her, "Look, I think you've got the wrong number." Mom's like, "Stop pretending. Come home now. Stop pretending like you don't know who I am. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And the guy's like, "Seriously, you got the wrong number." And then the whole thing continued on. It went back and forth. She's like, "Oh, stop being silly. I'm your mom. You're trying to run away from me." Da-da. Okay, whatever, the whole story. Then the guy decided, "I'm going to play along since she doesn't want to listen to me." So now he pretends he's the daughter, and he starts answering as if he's now the daughter. And that went back and forth, and you just keep reading. I'm not really sure why I read, you know, even half of it. And then by the time I'm reading, I'm like, what am I reading? What is news about this? Well, what is so exciting about that? And then, she finally realized it was not actually her daughter. And the guy's like, "Oh, see, I told you right from the beginning." And I'm like, why does that even find itself? Is there anything better to read in the news than something like that? But yet people get excited with this kind of news. I don't know. I mean, I hope you don't. I definitely didn't. I was like, this is so silly. How can this find coverage? And then you want to hear about the real stuff and it's half truth. Why do I care about this? So the media writes stuff to just get you to think the way they want you to think. Now, I'm not anti-media, but I'm just saying we've got to be cautious, because this is not where we draw our identity. Because why? The devil will use the media to shape our ideology by how they advertise. Sometimes it can sound so convincing that you would believe that what they're saying is true. Because it is half-truth. It's not completely wrong. It's not fully wrong. But it is distorted to make you think the way you think. Now, look at this. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of movies these days. But I remember when I used to watch movies, you know, sometimes have you ever watched a movie where there's a good and a bad guy, right? And then they portray both hero or both good and bad as heroes. You know what I'm talking about. That means the bad guy, he is bad, but you feel sympathy for the bad guy. Right? So even though you know what he's doing is wrong, but because they've built the character in such a way that you sympathize with the character, you agree, even though by principle and by scripture we don't agree with what he's saying, with what he's doing and how he's doing things. He probably murdered, well, I don't know, whatever. But yet, because of that, you will feel like, he's a good guy. I mean, I like him still. I mean, he's wrong, but I can feel this connection even though he's a bad guy. Now, I don't know why ever in history we should find someone who's bad as some kind of role model, ever. I mean, think about it. I'm not saying that there's no hope for this person. What I'm saying is, why should we feel in such a way that, because I believe that those kind of things actually shape the way we see things without real, very subtle, is very small, to make you more acceptable of everything that they have to say. So the wrong things becomes, well, it's bad, but it's okay. It's not too, I mean, I think I can sort of relate now. I think I can kind of agree. And then slowly, your position, if not taken care of, you could switch. Because that's their agenda, to put a message out there so that you agree with what they want us to agree. Something we don't always realize is that, you know, I mean, I'm trying to talk about some real stuff here, because technology has gone so far that when you're on your computer, the advertisements that come to you are targeted to you, to your gender, to your race, to you, where you live, to the things you've been, you know, searching on Google, because it keeps all this data. And you get advertisements based on all those things. Did you know that? Don't think, wow, YouTube, or you're watching the news and you're on the internet, wow, they're so prophetic. How does he know I've been trying to buy a watch? Wow, and here's the watch. I think it's God. God is telling me I must buy the watch, because I've been searching for a watch. Then I was looking at the news and suddenly there's an advertisement pop out of nowhere. And that is exactly the watch I've been wanting for a long time. It's not called destiny. It's called marketing. It's true. So even though you forgot about the watch, you're like, nah, you know what? I'm going to save some money. I'm not going to buy the watch. And then you're like, oh, destiny is calling me. All right? The thing is, the things that we're faced with, that is what we're faced. And then we are pushed back and forth with everything that they have to say. And that's where we have to be very careful. Does the media determine who I am? Or does God? Or does the Word? I'm not asking you shouldn't use the internet. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV. But all these are realities. And the enemy using all these things to get us out. Have you not watched something on TV, like an advertisement, which you never thought you need something, but they will advertise it, that if you don't buy this, if you don't buy this, you know, this will change your world. This will change your life. It would change everything that you know about this particular thing. If you buy this now, not tomorrow, if you buy it now, we'll give you a special discount, but you need this because it's going to make your life better. You never thought about it. You don't even know what it is. You're like, oh, yeah, this looks good. Hey, I think we should get this chip some more. Yeah. But these are very targeted to get you things that we don't necessarily really need. And the media is also confused. I mean, everything is confused. Sometimes they say coffee is good, and then next time they say coffee is not good. And then you say, okay, now this food is good for you. Then a few years later, this is not good for you. And so we kept getting swayed back and forth by what they want us to think, whether true or false. What water are we drinking from? You know, and the sad thing is, the news that we actually want to hear, we don't get to hear. I don't know if it was ever on the news that South Africa had over 1 million people gathering on a farm praying as Christians. I didn't see it make the headlines, probably did, but I never came across it. You hardly ever hear what God is really doing in the nations of the earth. But they tell you news that they want you to see here. But the real stuff that you want, they don't tell you that. You hardly ever hear how God, what kind of things is happening in China. We don't really know because we don't hear much about it. You hear some things here and there. But you don't really truly get the full report unless you have missionaries who go there. People that are actually on the ground and doing the work, they come back and tell us, wow, this is happening and this is and that is happening, this is happening, but you don't get to hear that in the media. Okay, I've been rambling on that for a long time. But what I'm trying to say is the Word of God stands forever. The Word of God is truth. It applies to mankind back in Genesis, wherever it was, at every point in life, the Word of God has been relevant for people. And we must draw from that river. We must draw from who God is. From this identity comes. The media will say, well, you're not good enough. You're this gender, that gender. You're supposed to say this. You can't say that. You're not supposed to offend this person. You can't say that way. You know, you got to use this kind of term. Then you're not really this. You're that. Then you're going to hear all kinds of things. And when you think about it, people are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I don't know if you see how scriptures is actually happening at our door. People are being pushed through. Because when we don't have a solid foundation in Christ, everything anybody says pushes us around. But I pray to God that the ideologies, the agenda, and the philosophies of this world will not have effect on us. It will not define the decisions that we make. They want to mold us. Now, when I say the media, I'm not saying the media is evil. But there's a spirit. We've got to realize that there's a spirit that's operating. That's what I'm saying. The course of this world. And we thought, well, you know, it's normal. It's just part of life. It's okay. You know, don't worry. We can't. Because we're missing the whole thing. The whole attack of the enemy is right upon us. And we think it's just normal. It's just normal. It's just, you know. Of course, you need to get mixture in the media. Of course, you can find every excuse to excuse something. That's why we cannot take this lightly, but we know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Drink from the well, which springs forth into everlasting life. Drink from this well, the Word. Let the Word open up to us. Let God open our eyes. Next one. Natural thinking. Does my own natural thoughts define who I am? this woman in verse 11, "So you have nothing to drink with, to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" In this woman's mind, her conception of water was from the well. That's all she knew. That's all she knew. She didn't know anything beyond that. She just thought, you have a well, go deep, pull out, get water, da-da, water. That's all I know. She could not understand what Jesus was actually referring to. She actually thought, well, there must be some other well around. What kind of water is that? Can you tell me? Can you show me? But it wasn't literal water. Is that true? It wasn't the actual physical water, what she was feeding from, but that water came from Jesus. Eternal life, the Word of God, the Messiah. A lot of times our natural way of thinking boxes us in what we can do and what we can't do. And I'm being challenged to think outside the box, because in my mind, I know, or I think I know what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. And so as a result, we box ourselves. I can do this and I can't do that. Not realizing that God oftentimes has different ways. You might still achieve the same thing, but God has a better way. But sometimes because we think in a particular way, and like I said, our minds have continuously being trying to be shaped by the way the world thinks and the philosophies of this world, we find at times we're wrestling with certain principles of scriptures. I mean, think about it. How can I give more money and get more money? How does that make sense? Right? And naturally speaking, it doesn't sound like much sense. How does it work? Explain. You can't really explain. It's faith. Do you know what I'm saying? We're challenged in every way, because you know, and tradition and the way we've been brought up is, you know, teaches us to think in a particular way, and oftentimes we are limited because of our natural thoughts. We got to break out of that and really ask God to help us, because the truth is, we don't know many things. No matter how much we know, we really don't know. We really don't know a lot of things. And so to be real with ourselves and say, well, okay, yes, I have this background, I have this knowledge, but the reality is I don't really know how to do it. And I need your help, God. Let's move on to the next really quickly. The natural mind, natural thinking. Do you think you and I have natural thoughts? Well, we do. Plenty. Especially when it comes to our rights. When we think we deserve something and impose that right. If I'm offended, by right, it's okay to cut off. Your choice, anybody's choice. But God's way is different. There's such a thing called forgiveness. There's such a thing called reconciliation. Next one. Past life or failures? For verse 16, this is what Jesus says to the woman. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." What did the woman answer and said? "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is your husband, is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." Now, look at this woman's life for a moment, okay? Look at this woman's life for a moment. She has had five husbands. And the one she's living now, she's not married to her, to him. Okay, what does that tell us? Okay, you either have a choice of thinking the five husband died, so she just kept remarrying. Okay, why is she living yet with a man with whom she's not married? Okay, question mark, right? Or she divorced five times and is living in with a man with whom she's not married, as if they were married. So what are the two things that strikes you right there is divorce and de facto relationship. This woman is broken. She has had no successful relationships. Tried five times. She probably hoped for five times, but every single time it was no. It just fell apart. There were six men in her life. Six men in her life. Neither of them could fill that emptiness in her life. That's why she had to meet Jesus as the seventh man, the perfect one that would come and change her whole world. Christ is depicted as the perfect man, the perfect one, the Messiah. Let me backtrack a little bit just before I move forward. So far, we've discussed a number of things. And when you look at this portion of Scripture, you will see that this woman is drawing her identity based on her race. Everybody say race. She said, I'm a Jew, you're a Samaritan. Oh, because I'm a Samaritan and a Jew, my race, this is who I am. Back off. Number two, she said, I'm a woman. So I'm a woman. She's identifying herself because of race and the fact that she's a woman. Two. Number three, she identified herself because of the well she was drawing from. Our father Jacob, he gave us the well. His sons and servant drank from it. Are you now saying that you're better than Jacob? You are challenging my heritage. You're challenging my culture. You're challenging what was given to us. So her identity is based on what, according to the forefathers, Jacob, the well. She drank from that well. She had natural thoughts. She couldn't come out of that. And she let all of those things define who she is. I can't understand anything beyond that water that I drink from. I can't understand what Jesus... I'm confined. That this is what makes me who I am. Then what makes her who she is again? Then she goes ahead and Jesus says, call your husband. Now, Jesus was very clear about what he was doing. He knew many things. This woman drew her identity based on her marriage life. Unsuccessful marriages, and was now in a de facto relationship. Now, when you put all these things together, that determines who she is in her eyes. Yet Jesus looked at her in a different way, giving this woman hope that there is another way of the lifestyle that she's been living in. There's an alternate way. No matter how broken you are, you can still make it. It means to say, no matter how bad life has been for us, and no matter how bad life has been for other people, there is a way to fix it. That's Jesus. There is a way. So that gives us a great hope of what Jesus comes and gives us, that no matter how broken we are, Jesus can fill that void. I want you to see one more thing here. Is that the moment, now listen to this very carefully, the moment Jesus started this conversation, he knew where he wanted to go. He knew exactly what he wanted to get out of this woman. I don't believe for one second that Jesus randomly asked for water. In fact, I don't believe that it is by random that he was in Samaria. The Bible tells us he had to go through Samaria. I think there's a reason why he was there. God sent him there to speak to this woman and to say very specific things to her. Because why? Everything that Jesus said led the woman to say things about herself. I'm a Samaritan, I'm a Jew, you're a Jew, I'm a woman, and Father Jacob here gave me this well, and this is my marriage. And so everything that Jesus was saying was to help to see this woman, how broken she was, without putting a finger on her saying, look, you're broken, look, you're going to go to hell. Look, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give you mercy, by the way, since I'm the Messiah. He didn't do that. But he helped the woman to realize the state she was in. I have so much racial conflict. I'm a woman, I'm looked down. I draw from this well, I still get thirsty. I'm looking for a good marriage, but it's broken. Divorce. And all these kind of things happening to me. And then finally here she talks about this issue of, you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place of worship, and we worship on this mountain. You say it's in Jerusalem. Jesus says to her, there will come an hour and a time where there was no such thing, no such place in Jerusalem, nor on this mountain. But the people who worship me will worship me, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So this woman was completely, now she was getting confused. Again, all my life I've been taught that on Mount Gerizim, on this mountain where the Samaritans worship, that this is the place of worship. This defines my religion. This defines who I am. But I'm questioning now because I sense that you're someone a bit more than just a man. I feel like you're some kind of prophet. Now tell me what you know, because the Jews are, and since you're a Jew, they're telling me that it's in Jerusalem is the place of worship. But it was a perfect setup for Jesus to reveal himself to this woman. Because now, how do you know that the woman was looking for the Messiah? This woman had to be shown, I need something. Because at the end herself, she said, you know what? The Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all, you know, all things. So she came into a point where she said, look, I am messed up. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. This is my own version, okay? Not the NIV, okay? This is my version. Okay, joke aside, okay? This is what's saying, I'm messed up, but I know someone can help me, the Messiah. When he comes, whom I'm waiting, he will tell us all things. So she was in a place where she's like, I need the Messiah. I am broken. Then Jesus finally reveals himself to her and say, he speaks to you, and he. And the woman left. The Bible tells us, we left the water pot and just ran into the city and called the man. Okay, there's much more to be said about this, and obviously I don't want to go into this, but she finally met the Messiah. She finally understood that all of these things that she had gone through in life does not define who she is, and she met the Messiah, and she became an evangelist. And she went to call the man, and people from the city begin to come and say, we want to hear this man. And as they heard this man, they believed for themselves. Now you can't tell me that God can only use you once you've attained a certain amount of holiness, once you've attained a certain amount of scripture knowledge, once you've attained, you know, this quota of Bible reading, if you have prayed for, you know, 1 hour every day, if you've prayed, if you've done this, if you read 10 chapters a day, then you are qualified to be an evangelist and go and spread the gospel. Oftentimes we have said, Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. And it almost feels like, I know that scripture, it's very simple. I don't know, because in recent times, I can't help myself but saying this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Even in my prayer, I find I'm always saying that, because I think there's a deeper truth to this. Sometimes we just thought, it's when you lead someone to Christ, you tell people he's the only way. At least for me, that's how I've thought of it. You know, we only tend to use that verse of scripture when you're trying to convince someone, look, no other religion can save you. Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And we know how to quote John 14:6. But to realize that in everything that we do, it is truly Christ alone who can set us free. Our past life cannot determine who I am. We can all look at the past and take from our life the things that we have done that were not right. Before we became a Christian, it was very clear-cut. But even as Christians, we might have done things that were not very good. Maybe you're not very proud of. Is that just me or is that you too? But I know that Christ is the only one who can take me out from whatever I'm going through. Sometimes it could be emotional, sometimes it's mental, sometimes all these things that is running through your mind, that you cycle, that you just can't seem to break out from. And what I'm trying to say here is the simplest message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not trying to lead you to a salvation prayer and to receive Jesus this morning, but to realize that it is the only way. Because you know what? Oftentimes, when we've gone through life, right? Even though you know God is saying certain things, you feel in your heart, okay, don't go ahead with this. But inside of you, you just want something. Okay, and what we do is we sort of disregard what God is saying because this is what I like, this is my desire, this is my passion, this is how I see myself, this is what I think I can do, and all these things. And we neglect. I don't know about you, but how many times have we neglected the warnings and the things that God has given to us as a sign, and we just push it aside because we've got our own plans, because we know what we want, and we go ahead with it and we hurt ourselves. Hello? And oftentimes, we are the ones who hurt ourselves. But yet, in the midst of, you know, inflicting ourselves, God is the only way that can take us out from those situations and to come up again, once again. And don't live according to the past, but live in the new. Because there is a broken world out there that we are not that exposed to. You know, I may say all these things, but I know there are so many things that I've not been exposed to. The hurts and the things that are the crisis that is happening all around the world. A lot of things I've not directly been in touch with. I know what's happening in Europe, but I've not been there. Do you know what I'm saying? There's certain things I just haven't been there to experience, but I know of it. There's so many crises happening all around the world. And the attack on us right now, and we have to know and make clear distinctions in our hearts to know who are we in God. What am I trying to achieve in life? Am I just trying to go through life and have a good career and have a good family and have 12 children and start a tribe and start its own tribe of whatever and then build a home? I mean, what are we trying to achieve? What are we trying to do? Who are we, really? And these are some serious questions that we got to ask ourselves. And I ask myself, because you realize that the only thing that makes us truly and fully what God wants us is as long as I do what He truly wants me to be involved in. If I haven't touched that, I'm doing my own thing, and I don't want that. So it's a challenge to me to really know who I am, because once we know who I am, what we have and what we can do, we know that when God gives us something, this is it, that's the way to go, just go, just run. There's a call, there's a cry that's going around, even our nation, to protect our identity. To protect who we are in God. All of our Christian rights are being completely attacked right, left, and wrong, you know, everywhere. From marriage, to gender, to prayer, to our right to speak for what is right. All of these things are being attacked right in front of us. Oh, what are you and I going to do? If we're not sure who we are, if we're not sure that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, what are we going to do? Jesus is the way. I think he's the way. Right? Or are we going to say, look, there's a better way? I'm not trying to get above myself, you know, by saying all of that. But I think we got to realize there is something serious that's happening. And to really know who we are and to really ground ourselves is going to be very important. And I pray that, you know, for my own self and for us as a church, to really take this, to really know who we are, and to rise up and be a voice in a world that is just falling apart like that because of all the confusion that's being spat at them, at us, at our society, at our country, as a nation. So Father, I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, I truly pray, God, help us, help us, help us. Help us, oh God, to know and understand the times that we're living in, that we have to stand up and pray. We have to stand up and rise. You know, a lot of times we felt self-pity, we felt, self-pity on ourselves, but there's a greater cause. There's a greater cause in this world, in our nation right now. Lord, would you touch us like you touched the woman at the well? Transform her completely. Lord, that's why we call upon your name and we say that you are the greatest of all. And you are the only way, the only truth, the only life. There's no other way. Lord, we call upon your name this morning. We say to every barrier to be broken right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spirit of intimidation, every racial barrier, every cultural barrier, every tradition right now, be broken. Gender barrier right now, be broken. Your past life, be broken right now. Bad experiences, be broken right now. Religion, be broken right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, natural thinking, be broken right now. Natural ways, the works of the flesh, be broken right now. Strongholds, be broken right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We take authority over all of these barriers this morning and we say right now, we smash it right now. We command you to leave our lives. We command you to leave our minds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be free in Jesus' name. So that we can rise to be who God has called us to be in the mighty name of Jesus. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. We praise you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If I can have the musicians, please. Look, I know I've taken, you know, quite a bit of time this morning to get this out and to deliver this, but I think it's something that it's a burden that I feel is growing more and more within inside my heart. You know, a lot of things that I've heard in the past and God's been putting in my spirit, never really understanding, you know, what it means. I had message outlines of certain thoughts, but I couldn't see, and I never shared some of those messages because I just couldn't see where that leads. But today, you know, I feel like there's a great sense of, you know, this is what I've been trying to put in your life to help you see the conditions that we are in right now and that we have to stand up and fight. Not fight physically, not fight arguably, not fight in a violent way, but to fight for righteousness. God's way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Shall we rise to our feet? There's nothing more that we can do except that we really, you know, just worship Jesus. Just There are certain things in moments like this, when we're gathered corporately, when we're gathered together, there's something when we encounter the Lord God, there are life-changing experiences. There are times like this in our lives, and I just invite you. I know I've been to, you know, there are times when I've experienced the Lord, and I know it's changed me. I know when I got water baptized, that very moment, something happened. I can't explain to you physically, but I know something in my heart. It was like God put something in eternity in my own heart and switched my whole body clock to think a certain way, to desire certain things, and to pursue certain things. And I'm saying, oh God, put that divine clock in our hearts right now this morning. Set eternity in our hearts so that the things that we'll pursue will not be the things that perish nor pass away, but that which is eternal, that stands forever. Hallelujah. And who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. And nothing in this world can satisfy. And Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Who is like? And who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Yes, Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence. And your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Treasure of my heart.